All right, so we're going to start with the podcast. This is episode one of our SciChat podcast. I'm Fatike Adeola, the grad student RA for the fourth floor. And I'm here with...
Ty Talyala. Hi.
You know her, you love her. She's the RA for your floor also.
So... let's get into it. Let's get into the good old chat because it's a side chat.
Yeah. So do you maybe want to give them an introduction, what your major is, what year you are, what made you choose your major in STEM?
Wow. All the way into my soul. Let's
yes.
do it. So I am currently a sophomore. I am a biological science major with a minor in theater. And basically, so how I kind of became like a just a biological science major is kind of difficult because I was originally supposed to be a theater major, and then I was going to be a theater major with I was going to double major in theater and biological science. But then I got a scholarship like for biological science, and I decided for the time being, it would be best to focus on the thing that is helping me getting through school. So that's currently where I'm at now. But I'm just kind of vibing with it.
That's definitely good to hear, and it's always nice to have options. So even if you do go through with, I guess, a career post-school in biology, you'll have that, and there's nothing saying that you can't continue to audition for things in theater also. I'm Fatike Adeola. I am a fourth-year PhD student in biological sciences. I teach the freshman Bio 1 lab, and again, I'm the graduate RA, which is, it's really funny because my very first semester here, I wanted to be a, way back in 2013, I was actually a theater major, but, which is wild because I never told you that. But I switched. I'll like tell you off the podcast why, but that first biology class kind of wrote me in. But it's very tricky because you have such a variety of classes and fields of biology. So your first one can really turn you on or turn you off because there's definitely the cellular side, and then there's the side where it's just organisms. And then the side where it's the organisms, how they interact with each other, how they interact with the environment. So a lot of different subsections. You have performance, you have evolution, you have medicine, all of the other different regions. What would you do with biology if you decide to pursue that? Or which careers are you currently aware of that exist in the field?
So for me, I always like said, I'm really into marine biology. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna go ahead and go with it. But then, you know, this whole COVID thing got me thinking, and that's not good. I shouldn't have gotten thinking because now I spiral and I was like, is that really what I want to do? Oh my gosh, what if it's not? What if I'm wasting my time? And I feel like every college student kind of goes through that at some point. So I realized I just needed to chill because I have time to figure out what I want and what I want to do. So there's really no rush, to be exact. But yeah, I still think I would like to be a marine biologist. And I'm actually going to be taking a class this semester that kind of focuses on the ocean and its impact and how we interact with it. And I think taking that class will really help me understand, like, if I would like to go more into that. And as far as like what other sciences I'm aware of, something else that I actually think about quite often is biopsychology. Not many people like know what that is, but it's basically when you take kind of like concepts of psychology and use biology to explain it, like how does your brain interact with like certain emotions, or how you do something and how your brain responds to it.
Right. And then a lot of fields and STEM kind of work well together, kind of like you said with biopsych. There's biochem, there's biophysics, and again, it's so big that you can take a lot of those fields and kind of combine them when working with the smaller organism. So even if you are still interested in neurobiology, you don't necessarily have to be in the hospital to work with that. There are a lot of research labs, there are pharmaceutical labs, there are a lot of different grad school options, there are a lot of different laboratory options. So also, even if you wanted to work within the ocean, you can do like the brain chemistry of this certain invertebrate or vertebrate that survives in the ocean. You can see how certain stressors in the ocean affect a specific organism, if that makes sense. So you don't necessarily have to pigeonhole or exclude yourself from your initial passion or your initial idea. Sometimes when you get new ideas or find new paths, you can kind of bring a small piece of what your initial idea was with you.
So for you, like when you yes. first started, what were some of the like major science jobs you thought of, or some of the major science jobs that you kind of learned about later?
They come along in like different phases and different steps. So working for a pharmaceutical company, discovering new drugs, but that would be with the chemistry department, or that would have to do with biochem. You can always do research. You don't necessarily have to be a professor or go into academia to do research. There are many private labs or industry labs that you can work for to do that. I have a lot of friends and colleagues who want to work for the National Park Service. So that would be a government job. And that's another option that would be within biology or environmental sciences. A lot of research positions will put you in different situations. So if you're studying sharks or fish or any other marine organism, you're going to be on the boat for various hours of the day. But a lot of these jobs have different funding sources. So if you're working for a private company and you like science, but you are also an avid writer, you can do grant writing for those companies and bring the research dollars into those companies, things of that nature. Outside of research, that's kind of interesting to figure out, because depending on the department that you're in, each department, I guess in a pre-COVID world, would bring in different seminar speakers. A lot of our seminar speakers would be from within the academia range. If you go to a department such as physics or chemistry, they might be more inclined to bring in more speakers from different industries based on those professors' personal connections with those people. So say if you were in the industry of physics, you might bring in someone from an oil company or a company that has to do with geophysics. So then you're blending two fields, like earth and environmental science and physics. Again, many of the STEM fields you can kind of combine, not combine, but they work well together paired, such as biostatistics. You're always collecting a lot of data. That data is going to be analyzed or need to be analyzed. Does that answer your question? Or would you?
That answer. Okay, so now let's ask the huge question. What do you think a scientist does?
A scientist does a variety of things. And you might not really think of those specific answers in a day-to-day basis. So there are people who are in science who also want to keep their creative edge. So we have what are called scientific communicators. So their job, a lot of the times, is to educate the public. So they'll take long articles, primary research articles that are often dense for either the regular public or middle schoolers or other people not of the scientific community, and condense them into understandable bits and create fun or digestible infographics to go along with this data or information. You have the people who aren't as great of communicators, so they prefer sometimes in some situations to be laboratory coordinators or lab managers. So keeping up the stock in the lab, keeping up with the chemicals in the lab, making sure the laboratory safety is always followed at all times. You have PIs, which are typically professors, so those are principal investigators, and they'll typically come up with a research project or be the head of the lab and approve specific research projects, because you can't necessarily say, I'm going to study this animal and this is all of the things I'm going to do with the animal. You can say that, but it has to be within reason and it has to be within, I guess, the bounds of the money that you have allocated for the lab space. Any other specific maybe traits that you can think of that I could probably place someone in the sciences with? Do you have any of those to maybe ask? There are people who love field work. So that's especially valid with biology and biodiversity studies and collection and observing animals. Also, if we're speaking about the earth and environmental science field, there are people who go out and do GIS, which is mapping, I believe, because there's still portions of the world that aren't mapped yet. That's why I think this podcast might be interesting, because while I can tell you all of the things that biologist and adjacent fields do, it would be interesting to maybe interview specific professors, see what other jobs they potentially had outside of this field, and what directions you can go with specific majors, because I can't personally really tell you what an engineer would do. Also with those primary, I'm talking a lot, I'm sorry. Also with those primary research articles where the scientists collect their data, they analyze their data, and they get it published, you have people at the major journals who approve those papers, edit those papers, and grant the merit to those papers to allow them to be accepted or rejected to get published.
Love that. For me, when I think of a scientist, I have always thought a scientist tries to find the unknown and then care for the known. And so when I say scientist, I mean anything involving science, engineering or physics or geology or biology. It doesn't matter what it is, but when it comes to science, you're always trying to find out something new or learn something else about what you already know, whether that be a plane or whether it be finding a new animal or finding out something more about an animal we already know, or astronauts, them flying off to space to see what else is out there, or what a moon rock is. It's always about finding something.
Right, and that's why I think the world of STEM is trying to open up, because it's the love of discovery. The person who's into the moon and astronomy might not really be into bugs or rocks or things other people might find interest in, which is very valid and interesting, because you can share those results with people who aren't in the same field. And it's pretty nice to hear somebody who's excited about the topic that they're studying, because you can just see it in their face and hear it in their delivery that what they studied was really worthwhile and really interesting to them.
I love that. Honestly, if I wasn't a bio major or if I wasn't into theater, I honestly think I would probably go into astronomy. If you know me, you know I have an obsession with the moon and the stars. It's my whole aesthetic. I'm wearing a moon necklace right now because I wear this like every day. My best friend gave it to me because of my obsession. And because I'm the RA, you guys know, you guys have constellations on your door. And I decided not to do like the basic constellations that everyone knows, like the Big Dipper or the Little Dipper or Orion's Belt. I was like, we're going to be new. We're going to be edgy.
What did you
talk about the constellations that nobody knows about. One of my friends, I put like the constellation Draco on their door, and it's a dragon. They had no idea what that was. They've never heard of it. And I was like, you're welcome. I opened your eyes. And I will open all of you guys' eyes. Talk to me about stars. I will literally say everything.
Stars are beautiful. I definitely don't know anything about the constellations. I know that when you go out into the more rural areas, because there's so much light pollution in the city, if you're just out at 3 a.m., you look at the sky, the stars are just, I'm that cheesy person who's like, wow, the stars at 3 a.m. are so great.
You have every reason to be cheesy. I actually went on a cruise last year that went into the Gulf of Mexico, and so the cruise destination was Mexico. But during, like, that trip, there was this one night, me and my mom and brother, we just kind of went out into the deck, and it was the most beautiful view I have ever seen. Me already being obsessed with stars, I'm actually seeing all of these, like, things I've never seen before. And sadly, there was a shooting star, and it happened to be the moment when I looked down.
Oh, no.
My mom was like, oh, my gosh, did you see that? And I was like, what? What happened? She's like, there's a shooting star. And then I looked up, and I saw nothing but the shining ones. And I felt like I had missed a major opportunity.
I hope some of your residents hear this, but I think it'd be really cute if they kind of gave you slips of paper, sent you an email saying things that kind of made them nerd out or gush, whether it be about just like anything in science, whether they're into birds or airplanes or just something. It could be something about video games that you think were cool or somebody who discovered a process. I think it would be really nice to just kind of have maybe three sentence, I guess, it's not a phone in, but kind of a write-in.
Yeah, guys, email me. We can talk about some of the things you guys like. I would love to hear it.
But that's definitely cool that you like the star course. I think there's only one on campus, but if you wanted to take an astronomy class, I think that gets taught every once in a while. What about biology classes so far? What topics? Well, I know you like the marine biology one. What other topics are you maybe excited to delve into?
I have this thing about genetics that I really like. So right. I was hoping maybe take a course on that where it specializes in it. And then also plants, I find plants interesting too, but like I'm also more into the animal side of biology, so I'm hoping to like maybe do like a animal behavior class or kind of, I can't find the words I'm thinking of. Oh my gosh, what am I trying to say? Wow, that's crazy.
Well, describe it and the words should flow potentially.
It's like, Wow, can you even do that? I think I'm tired, guys. Wow.
Oh, it's definitely fine. There's definitely a genetics course that should be interesting. All different fields, which is nice because our biology department is pretty integrative. So that means you can just pick any field that you're fond of and dabble in it a little bit. We definitely do have the classes on plants. Plants are a whole world of their own. I didn't realize how many plant families there were just in the city in general. There are quite a few, even on campus.
Yeah, Yeah, I have some friends who are actually in the garden club, and they rave about it. And so they were, like, the garden currently is not in its best shape. Mm-hmm. They were very sad about that, but they're planning to try and, like, fix it up.
Yeah, that'll be nice. I think the email's on the fence there, so if anyone listening would like to join the garden club, maybe reach out. Even if you're into a different field of STEM, it might be interesting, potentially stress relieving. I don't know about that portion, since you just stated the state of the actual garden.
You're planning to fix it up, but there's also a marine science club, in case you guys didn't know. So if you guys want to join that, I can give you the information.
Yeah. We definitely need to get some physics, engineering, even math speakers on here, because we're just bio-ing out.
And it's so funny, because, like, most of my friends, like, my best friends who I've known for the longest time, like, most of them went into engineering fields.
Yeah.
My best friend, Amber and Megan, they don't go here. They go to the University of Alabama, Huntsville. And they're both aerospace engineering majors.
That's wonderful.
So I was like, wow, I'm so proud of you, because it will not be me. I'm sorry, we're not going to.
But I think that's kind of gatekeeping yourself, you know? Because if it's just the one course that's keeping you, or just, like, a small series of courses, you can fight.
I know. Like, I try, but then I'm just like, but am I really interested? That's the question.
Right. That's a whole nother point. Because some people will go into the STEM, and they'll feel like, I'm going to collect a check. And it's like,
but is the check worth it? You're miserable.
Exactly. You have to at least enjoy a portion of what you're doing within reason to warrant going for
Let's
a whole
just make
career.
This point, guys. If you are not going to actually be happy, please find something else you're passionate about, because life may be long, but it's also short too at the same time. Don't spend your time, like, wasting away. There are so many things out there that you can be passionate about that also pay well. You just have to work on it and find it.
Right. That's another thing. You have to actively and avidly pursue your opportunities. You can't just go your 4 or 5 years and say, hi, I would
like a job, please.
Yeah. You have to ask questions, investigate your interest, things of that nature. And while there are a lot of people who are lucky and find things immediately, it's also good to just search out opportunities, maybe watch interesting documentaries for things that you might have not thought were interesting. Definitely look for internships within the STEM field, especially within your undergrad, because a lot of them do pay. I'm not sure how the summer internships are currently working with COVID going on, but those are always an option. And don't be afraid of your professors.
Yeah, because I know some people, like, get kind of tense about emailing people. After a while, you just gotta do it. you just gotta suck it up and do it.
Definitely. Any other questions you have so far, or things that you're interested in?
Very tired.
Very, very tired. That's understandable.
My questions are done for right now.
Yeah. Okay. So my question for you. So we obviously can't be all work and no play. Are you still avidly pursuing? Ooh, phone call. Are you still avidly pursuing acting roles or just small film gigs and things of that nature?
The current time, I haven't had, like, many chances because, like, you know, it's COVID. There's a lot of things taking breaks, and I'm kind of also just focusing on schoolwork, but I'm never, like, gonna not be into theater. Like, that's always been one of my passions, no matter what. Actually, there's this virtual movie premiere tonight, and I was an extra. I was an extra in it.
Oh, nice!
It's called This Is the Year. Everybody knows that show, Wizards of Waverly Place. Yeah, it was directed by the guy who played Justin Russo, David Henry. I have a picture with him. He was actually very nice that night. I also have. I spoke with Jake Short. He was on Ant Farm with China McClain. It was just a whole, like, awesome process. I may have, like, froze for 12 hours. I will never forget that. I could not feel anything.
What was your...
in summer clothes, and it was freezing outside. But it's okay. You have to act like you're not freezing.
Gotcha. What was the experience on set? What, like, was your prompt just walking?
So, that set was actually a concert scene. And so we're just kind of like having to jump up and down, like wave our arms around and just act like we're having fun. But it, like, I didn't have to act like that. I was genuinely having fun. Like, one of my best friends was there with me, and it was just nice to experience that with her. And then also kind of see the process of a movie being made. Like, that was amazing to see. I even got chosen to be like in a special little side scene. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to cry. This is too beautiful. But also, if I cry, my eyes will be frozen shut. So let's not do that. But yeah, it was awesome. And then I was in another, I was on set for another movie like a couple months later. And it was actually one of the same actors, Jake Short. He came back for a different movie. And I was in a bunch of small scenes for that. It was shot at my high school. They built a whole wall in my high school because I went upstairs for the scene. I was like, wait a minute. Was this here? Did I miss something? But no, they built it just for that scene, and I thought that was amazing.
Okay, that sounds like quite the experience. Do you like it, like, as opposed to stage acting?
Stage acting, it's like completely different for me because, you have no space for messing up. And if you do mess up, you have to, like, find a way to, like, get yourself right back on track. And you have to do it quickly. And I've always loved that aspect of it, like, having to be spontaneous if you do mess up. But also, I just think there's something about, like, filming where it's so different. And you have the room for improvement of messing up. Like, you can always say, cut, and let's try again, or let's try something new. So, like, film versus theater, I've always loved both so much. I don't think I could ever actually choose between the two. But something about that, it just kind of grabs my attention.
Okay. That's definitely great to hear. Should we wrap it up there? But sure. Yeah, that was very interesting. So thank you all for tuning in. Again, this is episode 1 of our SciChat podcast. We're still getting in the groove of things. Hopefully you are able to learn more about your wonderful TA, Miss Tartaglia. And for our upcoming episodes, we'll be trying to get professors of different departments as guests. We hope we'll get a few bites during these COVID times. Thank you for tuning in.